to a Hope 103.2 podcast.
Do you remember that starry-eyed feeling when you were young, admiring someone so much you wanted to be just like them? I confess that I had that feeling about Bono, the lead singer of the Irish rock band U2, and about Brian Robson, the captain of Manchester United at the time. Needless to say, I live with disappointment on both counts to this day. Well, strange as it may sound, I have a similar starry-eyed feeling about the Book of James. This text, more than perhaps any other in the Bible, describes what I want to look like as a Christian, and what I pray for our modern churches to look like as we seek to stand against the materialism, secularism, and individualism of contemporary Australian culture. So as a writer and speaker, I feel a mixture of excitement and nervousness as I invite you guys to walk with me through this precious but frequently neglected part of the Bible. Our modern tendency to dissect and probe the words of Scripture can, if we're not careful, cause us to miss its real force. James, more than most books in the Bible, shoots straight from the hip. He has little time for sophisticated argument. He just urgently calls on believers to look like real believers. James's message is fast and sometimes furious, but importantly, it's always sprinkled with grace. Whether it's his stinging rebuke of our bias toward the rich, or his colourful warning about the poisonous power of the tongue, James has a knack for highlighting common mistakes in the Christian life and drawing us back into a humble admission that we need God's mercy daily. Allowing ourselves to be found out and then submitting ourselves to God's gracious hands are the keys to getting the most out of this brilliant part of God's Word. In this way, I believe that the letter of James provides a medicine for many of us who feel lethargic in the faith, who are perhaps disappointed that progress of late has been meagre and slow. Well, as soon as you dive into the little letter of James, you'll discover that this biblical gem doesn't offer a developing argument against some heresy or misunderstanding. Instead, James delivers this rapid-fire set of direct proverbs and instructions about how to act in God's world. He says stuff like, "Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful." Or he says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up." In just about every paragraph of this letter, we find some new challenge to modify our lives to better conform to God's will. There's little argument, little explanation, just wave after wave of authoritative pronouncements about what it means to be a real follower of Christ. That style sounds familiar, right? Jesus spoke with the same style. "Blessed are the merciful," said Jesus, "for they will be shown mercy." Or, "Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Jesus was the master of the rapid-fire, proverbial style of preaching. And James, more than any other New Testament writer, adopts that style of Jesus. Actually, it isn't just Jesus' style that James has adopted. This letter contains more quotations and allusions to the things Jesus said than does any other book in the New Testament, outside the four Gospels, of course. And there's a very simple reason for this. James and Jesus probably grew up together. According to the unanimous testimony of the early church, the James referred to in James chapter 1 verse 1 was one of Mary and Joseph's children. James and Jesus were brothers. You can check out Mark chapter 6 verse 3 to get the list of Jesus' brothers. Now, I realize this may sound bizarre to some, especially if you've been brought up to believe that Mary had no other children than Jesus. The reality is, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, says clearly that Jesus had several brothers and sisters. Here's the text. "When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. 'Where did this man get these things?' they asked. 'What's this wisdom that has been given to him, and that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? And the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?' And they took offence at him." Now, it's always possible that these other brothers and sisters of Jesus were from a previous marriage. Perhaps Joseph had a family before losing his wife and later marrying Mary. Now, there's no evidence for that, but it is just possible. Most scholars, though, just think that Joseph and Mary had other children after Jesus, just like any other godly Jewish family would have done in the first century. Whatever the case, the New Testament repeatedly refers to James as the brother of the Lord. So that's how I'm going to refer to him in this series. Now, exactly when James wrote his letter is unknown. Theoretically, it could have been penned anywhere between AD 48, when James first rose to prominence in the Jerusalem church, and AD 62, when he was martyred by stoning for his brother's cause. Somewhere toward the end of this period is probably the best guess, but that's all it is. Before we turn to explore James's wisdom in all its Christ-like authority, I want to say a few things about how to get the most out of this series of reflections through the book of James. We're going to cover this over the next month. Firstly, can I urge you to read the book of James? Open up the Bible, turn to James, and feel free to use the contents page if you're not sure where in the Bible it is. I mean, someone was paid good money to put the contents page there, so please do use it. And then just read the whole thing. It'll only take you about half an hour. I'd love to think that over the next 4 weeks, as I take us on a tour through this precious part of the New Testament, that listeners are getting into James for themselves, allowing it to speak to their own doubts, disappointments, ambitions, and so on. This is one of the most practical books of the Bible, so prepare yourself to be challenged and changed and renewed. Whatever stage of the spiritual journey you're on, I'm sure James is going to have a lot to say to you. It certainly has a lot to say to me. When you tune in to this reflection program over the next month, I'm just going to take, say, a paragraph of James' letter each time. I'm going to say a little about what the passage means, and then I'm going to focus on the implications of the text for daily life today. So I guess I'd ask listeners to allow the book of James to influence your life and see where it leads. You know, James would have settled for nothing less. This is the bloke who said, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says." If you're at home, maybe even have your Bible open to the book of James as I lead us through the reflection. That way you can check that what I say checks out with what James says. If you're driving at the time, you know, just keep your eyes on the road. The Bible's not required. I'm going to end each reflection on the book of James with a prayer. This is really just a way of saying, Lord, I need your help. Please give me faith to take you at your word, wisdom to know how to act your way, and strength to face each day with your blessing. So I look forward to walking through the wonderful book of James with you over the next month. I hope it renews and challenges your faith wherever you're at with God. Let me close in prayer. Dear Lord, you know us inside and out, better than we know ourselves. Please speak to me through your word, especially through the book of James. Please strengthen me to be the person you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hope 103.2. Thanks for listening.